The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning. I'm happy you're listening to me right here on WMAL. It's 8 a.m. on January 13th, and by now, I hope you've gotten back into the swing of normalcy. I have. There's such a run into Christmas, New Year's, and then birthdays and anniversaries for our household that there's just a lot going on. So now that we're back into the normalcy of 2019, welcome back to the DMV. If you've decided to take a long vacation or visit somebody else, someplace else, welcome home. If you missed any of our shows these last couple of weeks, be sure to look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. That's right. Look up Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on Spotify or iHeartRadio. Just Google Eric Stewart Group Radio to listen through your phone or computer as well. And if you missed our show last week, there are a few key points you need to remember. But the most important thing is that the spring market for real estate is only a month away. There are countless things you can do right now to ensure you're ready to sell when the time is right for you. And I'll cover some of that today. I know it's difficult to think about. Here it is, cold and wintry, blustery, and maybe even snowy. But maybe over the holidays, you realize your kitchen just isn't up to par. Maybe you notice that your growing family no longer fits in the dining room as you gather together for food and laughter. How do you know if you should move or renovate? Well, one way is to listen to Helen Flynn a little bit later in today's hour. She'll be on the show with Kristen Shanks and with Stuart Rosenthal on the Senior Solutions Show, which starts at 8:30. And she'll talk about how do you know when the time has come to move. Hey, I know for myself that one of the surest signs that I get from any prospect that now is the time is that they've weighed out the financial cost of either buying or selling. They've weighed out the why, the big why. Why am I actually making this decision? What am I going to gain? And then lastly is a consideration in the arc of time within a person's life, whether this is the right time within that arc to identify and move into a particular kind of home. For instance, I live in a house that's got 5 bedrooms. I've got 5 kids. Well, that kind of makes sense, right? Got a room for each one of my kids to be able to live. Well, my boys have always lived together, so that's the way that goes. So we don't need another bedroom for them because they've always been in the same room since they were just 2 or 3 years of age. They just love that. But for my girls, they each have their own room. It makes a very pleasant space for each of them. Now, if I had 5 kids like I did, 15 years ago, and I was in a smaller house and I didn't have quite the number of bedrooms, that would be a big motivator for me to make a change. But now, I'm kind of on the other side of that. The arc has taken me in time to the point where I look at the home. I've got 3 kids out to at home now. I'm thinking, you know, I just don't need all the house that I have, although I love the home that I'm in because I grew up in it and renovated it to fit our family, but it's still more than enough. Now, do I have to move? No. Am I financially motivated to move? No. Do I take care of my home? Yes. Do I have help? Well, yes. I've got someone who helps me cut my yard and helps me when there's a plumbing leak because that's not my gift. You know, I can fix things with super glue and a hammer. I'm pretty good at those 2 things, and I know the difference between a Phillips head and a flathead screwdriver, having built sets when I was in theater school at Southern Methodist University years ago. I was building sets. So I'm familiar with construction. I know how to do some things, but I'm not a great carpenter, and I'm not a great plumber, right? So, but I could fix, you know, a little bubblegum, a little Scotty from Star Trek, you know, a little bubblegum to fix things, no problem. Got to tell you a quick story. We sold a house recently. Buyer bought the property. She moved into it. She turned the shower on for the first time. There was a leak in the wall. Turns out, cut the wall, discovered that behind the wall, the owner had literally duct taped a couple of the pipes. Now, she took ownership as a buyer that we were representing on the purchase. A home inspector went through the property and tested everything, including the shower, and nothing happened. What is the responsibility of that seller in that situation? Frankly, because they used duct tape, clearly they knew there was an issue. The seller is going to be on the hook to come back and fix that, pay for the difference, whatever the issue is. We're going to go to bat for our buyer because any pre-existing condition is covered. You can't buy a house, even if it's an old house, you know, from the 1940s, you can't buy a home these days and settle on it and discover there's an active leak, an inherent defect in that property that the previous owner knew about, you can't do that and not be able to go back to the owner and claim that they had made a bad decision, that they should have taken care of it correctly. Now, maybe it wasn't intentional. Maybe it was forgotten. That's not really the point. The previous owner of the property is still on the hook for any inherent challenges that the property has, any defects, okay, that the property has still in existence, still in operation. I go so far overboard with my sellers to make sure that they clarify anything that might have happened, even if it was 40 years ago. 45, 46 years ago, we had a hurricane in the D.C. area called Hurricane Agnes. I remember I was 8 years old. What a hurricane. Well, guess what? It caused water leaks in lots of basements that have never had a leak even in the last 45 years. I'll still mention it if the owner tells me, yeah, back in 72, we had a leak in the basement. Well, we'll just mention it. Seller had a leak in the basement, 1972, never had anything since. We mentioned it. We're off the hook. Disclosure is the key. Disclosure is the key. I've got a property Debbie Zeck in my group is bringing to the market. Actually, it'll be open this Sunday. I highly recommend you go by and take a look. This is in Northwest D.C. on Sheridan Street. It's a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath townhouse, row house, 1,680 square feet above grade, plus another 1,000 square feet below grade. It feeds Coolidge, Brightwood Middle School, and Brightwood Elementary School, right by the Walter Reed campus, the old Walter Reed campus that's being revitalized in the Tacoma Metro. So built 1932, lovingly cared for, upgraded by the thoughtful owners, new energy-efficient boiler, recently fenced backyard, replaced roof, windows, new paint, upgraded kitchen, baths. These are just a few of the many improvements. And the main level features a welcoming entry, wood-burning living room fireplace, and separate dining room. The kitchen, stainless appliances, light wood cabinetry highlight the granite countertops while the island provides additional eating space. And the kitchen door leads to a back deck with stairs to the patio, a yard, and a private parking area. Three upper-level bedrooms, two full baths provide plenty of private space while the finished lower-level family room, playroom, and a half bath is a bonus. Plenty of storage also in the converted garage. Right near Grock Creek Park, just minutes from downtown, easy access, it could be yours. That's 1320 Sheridan Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. If you'd like to attend the open house, by all means, please do. You can get more information on the property at ericstewartgroup.com, or you can contact Debbie at ericstewartgroup.com if you'd like more information. Toll free for our phone number is 800-900-9104. Listening today, want to visit, by all means, please come by. D.C.'s new short-term rental rules are allowing room for condo associations' existing bylaws. Now, last year in Southwest D.C., I sold a property that was one of the Southwest co-ops, right, in Southwest D.C., built in the 1960s. There are very, very strict rules in the co-ops not to rent the properties out. In fact, it's not allowed by the co-op rules. Here's the question. You remember the whole thing about putting dishes up on your roof, satellite dishes, so that you could bring in satellite signals from all over the world. Let's say you wanted to watch television in Farsi, which is the native tongue of Iran, or you wanted to watch in Chinese for Chinese television. You want to bring in the signal according to the country that you're from. It's interesting. It used to be you had to use cable. Used to be homeowners associations were very strict. You couldn't use satellite dishes. But there was a change in the federal law, which demanded that homeowners have the right to receive signals according to what's of interest. They have the absolute right to get information. And so satellite dishes were no longer covered by homeowners associations, although previously, if you had a satellite dish, you could get fined unless you removed it. Now that's no longer the case. So here's the question. Are you going to be able to rent out your condominium if the federal government were to dictate that you have that right? Will condo associations' existing bylaws trump any federal law when it comes to renting properties out? Recognize that your condo association, your co-op association, is like the government for the community that you live in, and you have to pay careful attention to it. In fact, there are some pretty stringent rules in effect. So language in many associations governing documents will prohibit rentals, but But if you proceeded with such a rental, you could get fined a strict civil penalty of $500 on a first violation, $2,000 for a second, and for a third, $5,000, and the revocation of your business license. So if you're the host, be aware that these are some things you need to look out for. Arlington facing tough times despite Amazon? Well, their new board chair is warning as much, despite the pending arrival of Amazon's headquarters to Arlington and Crystal City area, what's called National Landing. If you hear National Landing, that is simply the name of this area that is a combination of three different sections. It's a piece of Alexandria, it's a piece of Crystal City, it's a piece of Arlington, and that are all coming together to form this area where Amazon is going to build its headquarters. The reality is Arlington County is facing a $70 million shortfall right now in their $1.3 billion budget. Now, how do you raise $70 million? You can do it through property tax if you want to spread it across all the homeowners that are out there. You can increase sales tax. You can do all kinds of different taxes. The reality is that there is going to still be a tough time. There's going to be some fiscal restraint that will be required by Arlington if there's not enough tax dollars coming in. Hey, if you don't pay, you don't stay, right? That's my old adage in real estate. Thank you to my friends at Paragon Title, Randy Rothstein, for that statement. I remember when I first settled there 30 years ago, starting out in real estate in the late 1980s, I liked Randy. He would just say, hey, folks, here, you sign here. You got to pay this debt back. If you don't pay, you don't stay, right? So that's the reality when it comes to living in Arlington, Potomac, Bethesda, Chevy, Washington, D.C., wherever. The taxes cover the cost of all the goods and services. If you don't collect enough tax, what happens then? Coming up next on Pointing You Home.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
So taxes are collected to pay for government services. Ultimately, the New Deal in the 1930s was a massive entitlement outlay for the support and services of our country in the middle of a Great Depression, but it required taxing American citizens to pay for those programs. The challenge is when you decide you're going to create new programs that require money, you don't have the tax dollars, you either have to go into debt for it or you have to increase taxes. Okay? Now, there are a lot of homeowners associations that are well run, but there are plenty of homeowners and condo associations and local municipalities that are over their heads in debt. They owe too much money for the promises that they've made, and they continue to increase taxes and continue to overpromise and underdeliver, or they try to deliver on the promises that they've made, but it's to the degradation of the wealth of the people living in those areas, okay? Meaning that those people who live in specific areas that are highly taxed, they turn over a lot of their wealth to the government to do something with it that may be just satisfying debt. It may be handling programs that are of interest, and it may be handling programs that are not. This is why we vote our politicians into office and vote them out of office, because oftentimes there's just too much debt. There's just too much taxation, and the economy can't grow. The economy locally in our town or our state, obviously our nation as well, could be facing the same issue. If you live in a property and you just got a tax assessment, and the assessment came out for something less than where the value was last year, don't worry about it. It's not an indication of your fair market value. The assessed value is the sticks and the bricks from a guy or a lady who've never been in your home trying to figure out what the fair market value of your property is based on its location, schools, etc. Just ignore that when it comes to resale. Oftentimes, assessments are way low or way high compared to what a property could be sold for, and a good real estate agent can help you decide where the fair market value is. If you're getting ready to do that and want to get a market evaluation, highly recommend any member of my group, the Eric Stewart Group at Long & Foster. Each one are proficient, excellent real estate agents in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. We only hire the best at the Eric Stewart Group, and I definitely would encourage you to call us today. If you're interviewing brokers, make us one of the two or three that you're talking with. We'll be glad to come out and give you our presentation and tell you how we work and how we get such great results. That toll-free number to make that call right now is 800-900-7000. 800-900-9104. That's 800-900-9104 to call today. Or you can go to ericstewartgroup.com, submit your information, and we'll get right back to you, get that scheduled. In Silver Spring, there are apartments that are being investigated for mold and rodent issues. Have you heard about the White Oak apartment complex called the Enclave in Silver Spring? There's 1,169 apartments. 37 units have been documented with mold and nearly 30 with either rat or roach infestations. Now, one thing I've never understood is why the rats don't eat the roaches, but we'll have to save that for another show. If you've got 37 units with mold, what is mold? Mold is just common in every house, in every building. There is mold everywhere, but mold needs warmth and water and food. Biggest food source for most mold is wood or drywall. If there's moisture coming because of condensation dripping through walls or because there's a plumbing leak of some kind, that will get onto the drywall, and if it's warm enough, it will cause mold to grow. The spores then spread, and then the spores can cause problems with our breathing. So there are lots of violations in many apartment communities around Montgomery County, and I'm sure this isn't just Montgomery County, but chipping paint where there's lead paint, leaking sinks, bathtubs, unlabeled circuit breakers, a variety of things. So the county is really coming down hard right now, which is really right. I mean, if you own a property and you're renting to families and there's and you're not managing the content of mold in the property, you're really putting people at risk. So be careful. If you're going to move into a rental, it doesn't hurt to do a mold test. It's very inexpensive to do a basic mold test, or to bring in an expert who would look at any existing mold that might be there. Remember, it's not just the walls that you see, but it's the ductwork that may be bringing mold from other parts of a house, a townhouse, or a large building. Hey, have you heard of contingencies? Contingencies, what does contingent literally mean? Well, take con. In the beginning of the word, con means together. Thank you, Peter Swinehart, for that. Landed school, 7th grade. Con means together, and tingent means to hold. So contingent means something that is holding the contract together. It's essentially something that we're waiting to resolve. Last year, we sold almost 170 houses at the Eric Stewart Group, and thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, for just a fantastic year last year. We try our hardest to work with all of our clients with excellence to get our sellers the most money, negotiate the best contracts for our buyers, and we really have been doing this now 31 years. It's as long as I started in real estate in 1987. Okay, good, great. Contingencies are commonplace. Recently, I was representing a buyer on a property. Houses listed for $1.2 million, was able to negotiate a purchase offer at $1.1 million for this home. We had a home inspection that was done. Because we had been so successful on the price, I convinced my client to go easy on the home inspection because we essentially said, look, we're not going to ask for anything unless it's significant and major. Now, the contingency on the home inspection allows for the buyer to have 5 days to do an inspection with a professional inspector to make sure there are no major defects in the home, and then to walk away from that property if they want to, or come back to the seller and say, here's what we found. We'd like you to take care of it. Now, as it turns out, we did discover some issues, but it was all less than $3,000 or $4,000. And so because of the negotiation on the price side, we decided to just not bring that up and move forward towards closing. Seller was very cool. Buyer was very cool. Everybody was very happy and a great settlement altogether. The contingency is a way out of a contract. It's a window on the contract that allows someone to climb out of the contract if they're not happy. Financing is a contingency. For instance, if you're applying for financing, you're going to borrow 80% of the house sale price from a bank, and the bank says, sorry, you can't afford it, then that contingency is a way out of the contract. Home inspection is a way out of the contract. You know, when you sell real estate or buy real estate, at the point of ratification, the title to that property transfers from the previous owner to you as a purchaser. I'll repeat. At the point of ratification, this isn't at settlement. This is at the point of ratification. When you as a purchaser have negotiated a price with a seller and both parties have agreed to it, they sign off on settlement date, home inspection, whatever the contingencies are, and you've signed off on it. It's the fully ratified contract. Everything's been initialed and signed off on. It is now a transfer has taken place. The ownership is transferred at that point in time. It's not recorded yet, but at that point in time, it's transferred from the previous owner to the new owner, subject to the terms of the contract, the contingencies that have been built in, and the performance at a settlement office at some point, you know, in the next 30 to 45 days, typically. So you don't get your money until 30 or 45 days. The transfer of title will be recorded once the funds are provided, but you never, ever, ever, as a seller, want to sign two contracts when you're negotiating. Ever. Don't ever do that. Only counter one offer at a time. And buyers, don't put yourself in a position where you are purchasing two homes at the same time. It's just very dangerous. Be aware. Hey, we've got a really fine opportunity. If you're looking to maybe move into Potomac, Maryland, consider Copenhaver. I want you to encourage you to consider this lovely neighborhood of 205 homes developed by Kettler Brothers in the late 1960s. Kettler built seven models, all named after counties in the state of Maryland. And we have one that's called the Allegheny model because of Allegheny County. And it's an original home. It's about 3,500 square feet on two floors, plus a full basement that has another 1,100 square feet down. Altogether, over 4,500 square feet, $850,000. Now, it needs a kitchen. It needs bathrooms. But the lot backs up to Copenhaver Park with views of a pond. I highly recommend checking this out. Go to ericstewartgroup.com, and you can check out the listing. It is active. You can find it on any number of websites as well. Well, perhaps the time has come for you to think of selling. You've listened to the show today. You think, maybe I should call this guy, Stuart. Maybe he's got something he could do to help me. Or at least I can interview him among the other brokers I'm talking with. Please do. That's what our business is. Our goal is to serve you with excellence and get your house sold for the most money. If you've enjoyed our lecture today, the lessons that I've provided, listen again next week at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, we've got our Seniors Solutions show where we'll talk through some of the challenges that we all face as we're getting older and trying to decide whether the time has come to move. ericstewartgroup.com is the website. Been a pleasure to be with you. I'm Eric Stewart, and I'll see you next week.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.